Think about this. Four times God says the same things. Four times God repeats himself. Four times the Lord clearly maps out what he wants us to do and be if we're married. Now, those of you that like biblical facts, okay, let me just give you this. God's mandate for marriage, this concept of leaving father and mother and cleaving to your wife, is stated once in the Old Testament, three times in the New. Okay, so once in the Old, three in the New. So that's interesting. God's mandate for marriage is stated once before mankind fell into sin and three times after. So this thing transcends the fall. He said the same thing about marriage before and after. So it hasn't changed at all. It was his intent. God's mandate for marriage and his marital purpose for a perfect man and for a sinful man are the same. And so that's what is crumbling around us, because the world doesn't even consider marriage to be important anymore. I mean, I rarely meet people that think marriage is wonderful out there in the world that are lost. A lot of them, it's convenience or it's illegal, whatever. They don't look highly on marriage as God does. God's mandate for marriage is God's all-time blueprint for a good marriage. And an honest examination of the scripture, and I'm going to just get you started tonight, but if you do what I did, I studied marriage completely. Now, I read all the books I have on marriage, and I think I have about 50 or 60 different books, and a lot of them are the really little ones, you know, that are easy to read. And I looked at every scripture in the Bible and every passage that talks about marriage. And let me just give you my opinion after reading all that. An honest examination of all the scripture that leads to an understanding of what God has designed marriage to be brought me to the conclusion that the wife's primary ministry in life is her husband, and the man's primary ministry in life is his wife. That's what God says. I'm not talking about your only. I'm talking about your primary. I'm talking about what God presents as your primary, your first response. Like if the house burns, what do you grab? You know what I mean? What's most important? Primary means, you know, your primary caregiver or your primary whatever. It's what takes precedence. And often we don't think in those terms, even among this august group. You all are committed, you are dedicated, you are serving, you are sacrificing, but sometimes ministry in the church takes precedence over marriage and the ministry we're to have there. Sometimes educating our children is more primary in our lives than our marriage. And sometimes, yeah, I mean, you can just put in anything, your job, whatever. And we lose sight of the fact that God has deemed it that the primary ministry we're to have is, listen, we leave our father and mother and we cleave to our wife and become one flesh. And God repeats it and repeats it and repeats it and repeats it and said, this relationship is the only relationship that can truly mirror Christ and the church. And you know what? We've got to reassess whether we have God's priority for our marriage that he designed, because you wouldn't believe all the benefits following the rules of the designer. You know what I mean? You can use a lawnmower to level the dirt in your backyard, but it wasn't designed for that. You know what I mean? You can find something, you get a bulldozer, not a lawnmower. You can use your hedge trimmers to cut small trees, but it wasn't designed for that. You can do it. God says you can make it through life not following my rules, but if you follow mine, you wouldn't believe the benefits. Remember I told you last year there's no greater joy than to see our children walking in the faith? I'll tell you what, there's no greater ministry you can have in life than to have your primary ministry be what God designed it to be. And all of you have already publicly affirmed you're married. You realize it's your primary ministry, not your children, not your Sunday school class or Awana, not educating, not your job, but your marriage. Now let me show you what I mean by that. God said when he created Eve for Adam in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable, literally corresponding to him, and God made Eve. And if we want to most fully serve the Lord, God said, then don't get into this marriage relationship. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, because it's going to deter you from fully serving the Lord. So I think all of us have decided we're not going to be able to be eunuchs and, you know, serve the Lord completely like many did in church history. We've already made that decision, so let's talk about how to maximize the decision we made. Now, just let me give you a few conclusions. Number one, husbands are incomplete without their godly wife. God made woman to be man's helper. That's what this passage says that God repeats over and over again. We are incomplete without our helper because without her, we are not having that one God made to correspond to us. And I hope from the bottom of your heart you realize that, that God said, men, you're incomplete without your godly wife. Without the woman, man, even in his perfect condition, before the fall, was incomplete. You catch that? In God's perfect creation, man was incomplete without woman. What an amazing thought. With no sin attached, man was incomplete. Secondly, husbands are only completed by a godly wife. God made woman to be that suitable helper. None of the animals could provide the kind of help man needed. One woman could do that. That's why the Lord says, if you find a wife, you find a good thing. And you know Proverbs 31. And I can fill my life with activity and ministry, but if I neglect my primary ministry of my marriage, I'm a failure. You know, a lot of people wake up to that later on. But you know what's neat is to think about it right now. Even when you're up to your neck in kids and ministry and everything else. Husbands are different than their wives. God created the woman to correspond to the man. She's similar, but she's different. She's a complement. She's not a carbon copy of us. And we have to realize that. Men, it's hard, you know. We don't realize how different they are. God says that a woman is corresponding to us like a key to a lock, like film to a camera. Film is not a camera. Camera is not film. The lock is not the key, and the key is not the lock. But without each other, what are they? What's a lock without the key? It's nothing. It has no, it cannot operate. What camera? My kids have cameras. They have no film in them. They take pictures. It's cute, but it's nothing is happening. The same thing, unless we understand, for us, we are incomplete without that godly wife. Husbands are only able to succeed by a biblical partnership with a godly wife. According to Scripture, the wife was made to fulfill the needs, the lacks, the inadequacies of men that we have. We're inadequate. We lack. She meets those and corresponds to us.